This time on episode 245 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Legion Chapter 9, we talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your feedback.
I'm Lee from Just One More Fix, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, June 10th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astral plane wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Ballpoint Pen Day.
I would grab mine, but it's way over there and I don't feel like getting up.
Yay, I love my ballpoint pens.
I have so many pens.
Yes, they're good pens.
I wonder if the generation after the millennials will ever really ever use them.
I have so many ballpoint pens, I just realized.
Do they all work or have they dried out?
Yes, they do. No, these work. I was using these for bullet journaling and then I got really lazy, but I need to start again.
Indeed. Do start again. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is heading into its sixth season in the summer of 2019. The multiple Marvel Defenders series on Netflix, which will be there until Disney streaming service is available, basically. Legion on FX with season two starting today. Congratulations on the season three pickup. Possibly The Gifted on Fox if we ever have time. It's looking less and less that that is a possibility. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel comic and comic book universes in general.
Wait, what's happening?
You would like to know more about what's happening, you can go to our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to give us your opinion on what's happening, you can call us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can swing by our Facebook page to explain to us what's going on. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
If you think you're a butterfly dreaming of being a man, you can tell us so on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you would like to watch our confused faces as we try to figure out what's happening, you can check out our YouTube at youtube.com/gunnageek.
And if you would like your Amazon device to explain to you what's going on, you can enable the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
As I mentioned before, we are starting Legion Season 2 this week. And it is because it is the next thing to do. And it is because we're all confused. So this is more than a therapy session. This is us trying to figure out what's going on. And we're going to start right now. All right, ladies. This season two premiere episode is titled Chapter 9, and it aired Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018 on FX, which, by the way, RIP and congratulations all in one bundle to The Americans for a very successful series finale. Now, this episode of Legion earned a 0.669 rating, which is lower than last season, but we'll see if it picks up or not. Now, Legion was renewed for a third season on June 1st, 2018. Lauren, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by, and I'm sorry because I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Tim Melantz. This is his second discussion appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's previously directed Legion Chapter 5. He has 11 directing credits since 2005, including two of Legion. He's also done, and I'm looking at his page right now, four episodes of The Terror, which I have all the episodes recorded and need to binge. 6 episodes of Peaky Blinders, also need to binge, 2 episodes of The Tunnel, 2 of Professor T, 9 episodes of Cordon, 10 of Zingiberia, which I've never heard of, and it looks like it's Scandinavian, and 11 episodes of Code 37 and a couple of shorts.
Now, Haley, we had 2 co-writers for this episode, and they're co-something else, aren't they?
Right. So the first writer is Noah Hawley. He is the creator of the show. So we've discussed him several times before on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was the writer for the first 2 episodes of Legion, and then episode 8, which was the season finale last season. He also wrote an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., season 5, episode 14, The Devil Complex.
He didn't write that. Nope. We just talked about him during that episode because of his Doctor Doom news. So he is producing Doctor Doom.
Gotcha. But he has 8 writing credits, starting in 2006 with Lies and Alibis. He has done many episodes of Bones, The Unusuals, My Generation, obviously Legion, Fargo, and then upcoming projects include Pale Blue Dot and Doctor Doom.
Michelle, the other co-writer is?
Nathaniel Halpern, who is also the co-creator of Legion and a producer on the show. 3rd discussion appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Has 8 credits since 2010, including 1 The Killing, 3 Resurrection, 1 Outcast, and 10 episodes of Legion, chapters 4, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18.
All right. So that is your creative team behind this season 2 premiere episode. Now, the cast remained largely the same from season 1, at least so far. A bit of a note on returning cast, Amber Midthunder, who is Carrie Loudermilk, the female part of the duo.
Carrie with a K.
Yep, Carrie with a K. She was cast in the Roswell pilot as well. So Amber also doing other great things. Now, we also had the addition, and please help me out, Lauren, the casting of Amal Farouk.
Yes, he is Navid Negaban. I'm pretty sure I mispronounced that,
okay,
but we'll see. He is one of our newest cast members, Amal Farouk / The Shadow King. And he has also been seen in 24, Homeland, and The Messengers. He has 122 credits on his IMDb page. So he's not exactly a newcomer to movies, the screen, period.
Nope, not at all. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of typecasting, but he's got some significant roles in there.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you are brown in Hollywood, you tend to get typecast a lot. Hopefully this will be changing, but it's slow. Things are very slow.
Yeah. So this episode was titled Chapter 9, and Haley, what's with that title?
This one's not as much fun to joke with, so I'll just say it. It's continuing clearly from the way the episodes were named last season, chapters 1 through 8. It does kind of tell you that this isn't necessarily a new story. We're continuing the story that we've been telling for the last season.
Yeah, it rolls right into it from, well, not rolls, right? I mean, it continues, I guess, the story from last season, absolutely, especially since last season ended with David leaving in the orb. Now, since we've been so accustomed to this next fact, we're just going to have to get it out here. Now, Michelle, does your mom watch Legion?
No, she does not. I know her taste. I explained the show to her and she looked at me and she just went, nope.
Nah.
It's not so much that it's a bad episode. You have to basically take notes to understand. And she's just like, I don't really want to take notes and have to remember a whole bunch of things. It's like Game of Thrones is that show for her, you know, having to keep track and theories and stuff. So, no, yeah, this is not for her.
With season 1, I feel like I didn't get stuff at the beginning until after I'd finished and went back and rewatched it. And then I was like, oh, now I get it.
This is a show that really, really benefits from rewatching.
It does. Since this was my second time watching the Chapter 9, I definitely benefited from that. So just a mental note to our listeners, we will not be discussing Michelle's mom takes on these episodes, much to everybody's chagrin, especially after those great outtakes from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale. So if you haven't caught that yet, go back to episode 243 and catch in the outtakes Michelle's mom's reactions to that. It's quite fun to listen to. It's about 8-9 minutes of it. It's fun. So thank you for recording that, by the way, Michelle.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're going to move on back to Legion here. And we're going to start with what was most intriguing to me in the episode. And that was, I had to wait all the way to the end, but we get actual time travel, don't we, Haley?
We do. And I had been thinking the whole episode, like, I wonder if they're going to do some time travel or something with this. And they do. And it was really weird because it's Legion. So, like, they're in, like, this black space where they can't talk to each other. She can draw. Also, she can write words because we see her do it at the end, but instead is trying to get him to understand through pictures.
Because she can't talk. Now, the interesting question, can she not talk because she's fearing like she's going to be found or because she cannot transmit her sound back to the past?
Well, okay. This is astral time travel. That's the only way I can really describe it. FYI to listeners and to everyone, I have watched the season. So this is a pure rewatch for me. I know what goes on in future episodes.
So Michelle is the one time traveling back to watch the first episode.
Is it regular time travel or is it astral plane time travel?
It's time travel at the speed of regular time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of like where they're meeting. And as it goes on, David makes it more powerful. So just keep an eye on the evolution of the interaction between David and future Sid.
Okay. We do notice that Sid is without half of her left arm. You do notice that she has aged quite a bit. And we do notice that her clothes are definitely different. Although it's hard to judge anything by clothes because you go 10 years in the future and fashions change.
Are you going to talk about like the way they did her gloves? Because I thought that was cool.
No, I was going to say that I love that movie shorthand for crapsack future is like knitted or crocheted shawls.
Oh, I thought you were going to say missing limbs.
Well, that
we
too.
Just did that with
but I've noticed this in, you see this in Hunger Games. You see this in X-Men. You see this here. Just go and look at a thing. And if somebody is wearing some sort of like knitted shawl and it's sort of a drab color, it's a crappy future. And as somebody who knits and loves shawls, I'm kind of in favor for this because this means I will be in high demand in the crappy future that we seem to be approaching.
You'll have skills to trade.
They're letting you know that everybody has to make their own clothes, but nobody's good at it and nobody has time to get good at it because of how crappy the future is.
Yes, but I am good at it. And I promise that as long as you hunt and gather for me, I will make you your post-apocalyptic shawls that you will so desperately need. Aesthetic.
Because the dank future is drafty, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your shawls and your fingerless gloves and your knit hats. Also, the Matrix, everybody's wearing knitwear.
Yep.
And Sid's wearing the compass. Future yes. Sid has the compass. The compass. David has Carrie make while he's in the tank, and it's a compass that always points towards him. And that's another thing, Sid's role, she's a compass, literally. It's interesting what happens with the whole idea is Sid as a compass.
Okay. Well, not only do we get Sid traveling back in time, but I don't want to label it time travel. But we have some sort of time amnesia going on with David, going from the end of season one to where he is found at the beginning of season two, in between chapter 8 and chapter 9. And so what is the deal with that orb? Where do you think it's from? And what do you think it's really doing?
So in the preview for the next episode, well, for future episodes, and I accidentally watched part of the next episode because my DVR was all kind of messed up. We see Carrie with a C, boy Carrie, saying, I feel like I made this. So I feel like that tells us a hint.
I was thinking like the design was very similar to the tub he put him in.
Yes. It's very similar to his whole aesthetic.
Yes.
Carrie has this aesthetic. It's all of the stuff that he makes has this kind of, you know how everybody in the 60s thought futuristic would look? That's Carrie's aesthetic. So I feel like if you look at something and it looks like how people in the 60s thought the future would look, it's Carrie.
Okay, so I guess we could speculate on why you think that he created this to capture, to go, I guess, go back in time, really, because if he makes it in the future, he has to send it back in time to go capture David, to ferry David away, and then do everything that he supposedly did, but we don't know if it was a full year. I mean, he looks exactly the same as he left, so how much time do you think has transpired for David?
Well, we know they said he was missing for 362 days. That's almost a full year for those of us like me who can't math. And theoretically, you might not change all that much in a year if you're an adult, but there's more to it than that. We're pretty sure. We also find out that David was near and around places that Oliver / the Shadow King was, which makes sense given that the vision that he sees of future Sid says, find him or help him. Help him. That's what she says. So he's going to need to help get the Shadow King's body back. Why? I don't know yet. This seems like a bad idea. But then again, it could also be put him back in his body, kill him for good. One of those things. And one of the places that we find out where he was this club where there was this super awesome dance battle. But unfortunately, all the people in the club were left standing there, locked in their heads and with their teeth chattering, which is this thing called the catalyst.
We have to talk about the nightclub, because over the course of this episode, you actually start to piece together kind of what happened at this nightclub where David is found. David is following a bald man called the Monk. Later on, you realize he's a monk. So I'm just going to let you know that guy is a monk. So the Monk. He's following the Monk, finds him in the nightclub, gets stopped by Oliver. We have to remember Oliver is the physical vessel of the Shadow King. So whenever you see Oliver in reality, that is, it's Oliver's body, but it's Farouk in charge, basically. So it seems as though David is following the Monk, gets stopped by Oliver. That dance battle is an astral plane psychic battle because it's so powerful. And because the Monk was there, the people in the nightclub are affected because of what happened. It's a combination. The Monk is important. I'm trying not to really explain everything, but the Monk is not Farouk. The Monk is somebody else. So that dance battle is a psychic dance battle. And then unfortunately, because it's so powerful and the people sort of like got involved, and because the Monk was there, unfortunately, all these people in the nightclub end up in like this weird kind of catatonic state with their teeth chattering. And it's very odd.
That teeth chattering is so creepy. One thing I wanted to say about the dance battle, I loved it. I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit last season when they do the dance thing. There was some stuff written about this at the beginning of the season. And there, like you said, there hasn't been much written about the season as it's gone on. But Noah Hawley said that he didn't want this to be just kind of a punch-punch traditional battle thing. The thing with dance is it's so very personal. And you could see a lot of the personality of these characters in their dance moves. Like with Lenny, you could see kind of the seductiveness of the parasitic nature of her. With David, you could see a bit more of the brute force. With Oliver, you could also see a bit more of that brute force. It's something that I wanted to watch just over and over and over again, but I didn't have time.
I've watched it a couple of times. I watched it a couple of times when I first watched it. I didn't re-watch it when I did the rewatch this morning before this podcast, but it's definitely, I'm glad that I did. You know, like everybody's saying, you benefit from a rewatch with this whole series, so I did get an idea that it's actually a battle. It's not just them dancing. They're actually force projecting powers, and it's an issue going on. And then also Oliver and Lenny are controlled by Farouk, and you have to remember that. So are they really battling, or are they being controlled when they're battling? And it's something that I can't answer all those questions right now, but at least it's in the back of my mind that it is going off. So Haley, how'd you like the dance battle?
I thought it was really cool. I think it's cool that they've decided that they're psychic battles instead of it being like, oh, this is a psychic battle, but it's actually people just punching each other. I like that they're doing something else to kind of show this battle that's taking place.
Yeah, and also I thought it was a small tip of the hat to Guardians of the Galaxy as well. But small. I mean, there's a little dance battle in there. It's not big. The Guardians of the Galaxy 1, not 2. All right, yeah. So we do have a question, I guess, Haley. You brought this up, and it's been a continual question on when exactly is this taking place?
Right. So stylistically, and looking at most of the stuff that's around, it looks like, you know, 70s, maybe. But Xavier was only, I don't know, in his 30s in the 70s? So how old is David supposed to be?
They do clearly say that this is the Division 3, which we'll talk about in a second, was stood up to combat or look at the threat of the new mutants.
Mm-hmm. So it's sometime in the 70s because they're still just learning about the existence of mutants and how many of them there are and what they can do. But David is 30-ish. It doesn't seem possible that he's Xavier's son, given the timeline that's been established up to this point.
It's got this weird, almost timeless feeling.
Yeah.
Because it's this, again, when they're in the club, it's a very modern feeling, like the dress of people.
Yeah. Well, and I don't ever remember his name, but the guy that was kind of the bad guy last season who got half his face burnt off.
Clark.
I keep wanting to call him Craig.
Well, anyways, he's talking about like watching soaps with his mom growing up and like all these tropes in the soaps. But that would have been in like the 50s. Did all those tropes exist then?
I actually see Legion kind of as Gotham. I watch Gotham, and what's really interesting about Gotham is that it's sort of like this Elseworlds story. You have cell phones with cars that look like they're from the 40s and 50s. It has this noir feel, and it just seems like out of time. I think Legion, I watch a lot of home improvement shows, and there's always this whole, we love mid-century mod. And there's this trend right now to take homes and apply a mid-century aesthetic to them.
So they actually
do look like homes from that time, that late 50s, early 60s, even when you go inside with that same type of furniture that you see in Division 3. I think it's one of those things where, I mean, we even have like cyborgs and such. I'm wondering if, okay, sure, maybe this does take place in the 80s. Maybe it doesn't matter. We don't even know if this is connected in any way to any sort of timeline that Fox has established, either with like The Gifted or with the movie side with the X-Men and such, or, you know, this is an FX show. Is it almost like Gotham on Fox, where it just exists in this weird Elseworld sort of situation?
I need Deadpool to show up and explain directly into the camera to me exactly what's going on.
Might happen.
He can do that now. He's got the time travel thingy.
It's true.
So there is the question. We'll keep an eye on that, but I don't know if that's going to be resolved in this season, in the series at all.
I don't think they're going to address it. I think they're going to do what they want. And like, if they want an iPad and they want it to look like the 70s, whatever, that's what they're going to do.
So two things of note. We were talking about the dance bell in the club. I just got a Miami feel from that. I don't know why, but I just got a feeling that it was a club in Miami. Probably not, but there you go. And then also in Carrie Laudermilk's lab, so Carrie with a C, I noticed that his big display was not a traditional 16x9 or 4x3 monitor. It was a square monitor. So that was pretty cool.
Again, that sort of gives you that everywhere and every time and no time feeling. There's stuff there that belongs nowhere.
Right. And so it belongs to Division 3. So let's talk about Division 3. Lauren, you wanted to talk about Division 3.
Okay. First of all, they now work for Division 3. Remember the bad guys from last season? Yeah, they work for them now. Because it turns out the Shadow King is a really big threat. And it's the whole enemy of the enemy is my friend thing. First of all, there's three things that I really want to address. One, some of the guards are kids, because it turns out that under a certain age, people can't be infected. That's a little creepy, but cool. Two, I want to talk about the Vermilions. The Vermilions are these androgynous-looking android cyborgs. From the description they were giving, it sounded more like they were cyborgs. There was a machine put in their head, I guess. And they are these women with... They all have black bobs and black mustaches, and they all sound like GLaDOS from Portal. And it's this really odd sort of feeling, because they'll all talk and sort of finish each other's sentences.
They kind of made me think of like the blonde hive mind telepaths.
The cuckoos.
Yes, them. Yeah, we saw them in The Gifted. We've seen them before in like other X-Men stuff.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Admiral Fukuyama, who is the guy with the basket on his head. So speaking of monks from earlier, he's very reminiscent of Komuso monks, who are from the Fuke school of Zen Buddhism. And they are still around today. You can find pictures of them online. And these monks practice a specific type of Buddhism that teaches you that the whole thing is like, they wear the basket because it means that they remove their ego. And I know that's probably not what's going on with this, but I find it really interesting. Like, there's some really interesting stuff about Komuso and Fuke Zen. And I have no idea if it's ever going to be connected with this, but just the fact that we have this visual connection, I find extremely interesting. And yeah, it's just this weird look. I really love the aesthetic of Division 3 right now. Again, half the reason I watch this show is for the aesthetic. The other half is because X-Men. So
we were given a little bit of an explanation into Division 3, and that there is indeed a Division 1 and Division 2. Division 1 is Global Command and Communications. Division 2 is more along the lines of pure science, genetics, technology. Division 3 has four, they actually labeled them on the screen. It has four subdivisions: investigations, research, tactical, and strategy. And all of the mutants that were in Summerland are embedded into each of these subdivisions as well. I mean, you have Carrie with a K that's in tactical. Research, obviously, is Carrie with a C. Strategy, you have Melanie and Sid. And investigations, you had Patolny along with Clark, who was already in Division 3. So you do have some definite setup that's going along with there. And I appreciated that, because everything else with the entire series and the episode is so out there and abstract that it was nice to have a firm, concrete, hey, this is where we're at. So that was good, at least. And David, I was mentioning before that David's gone through some time travel. He has smatterings of memories of what is going on while he's in the orb. He's got memories of trees, roof, dancing, and Clark continually is trying to get him to figure out what's going on. And then apparently, Fukuyama, he apparently can read David's mind, and or at least tell when he's lying or not.
Yeah. It's really weird, because his Fukuyama's machines, like, they can't be read, and they're a line of defense for him, because Fukuyama is just terrified of being taken over, and that's why he talks through them. And he's very distrustful of David, because he knows how powerful David is. And it's one of those things, it's like, you're one of the most powerful mind people we've ever met, and you really can't remember where you've been. Yeah, right.
Right. So that's going to be something that I know, watching the next few episodes, it's not going to go away, but it's something that you can see festering at the beginning here. So that is Division 3, at least for what we see in this episode. Now, I was intrigued when I was watching the very beginning scene because I didn't remember exactly where the beginning began. But in this particular case, it is with Oliver and Lenny that are floating in this pool. They can't remember what day it is. Oliver has a drink that is refreshed out of nowhere, and they are trapped. And then there is a layer of eyes that's going on. So you go out through Oliver's eye into Farouk's eye into, or the monk, I can't remember which one. And then you go into Oliver.
It's Farouk,
again.
I think.
It's Farouk. So
it's Farouk.
So you, it's all trapped, though, within Oliver's physical body.
Okay. The pool.
Can I tell you the way I took it first? Just sure. To see if I'm right.
Sure.
So the way I took it was Lenny the parasite and real Oliver inside, because there was this whole thing about a maze in there also. A little bit later, it made me think about this.
Yeah, the voiceover with the desert and the rock. Yeah,
the maze is in your own mind. So the way I took it was Parasite Lenny and real Oliver, and they were being sort of held hostage by the Shadow King, and the Shadow King is in Oliver.
Yeah, the pool is very important, and who's in the pool, and who's poolside. And when, first off, Lenny is just Lenny. Lenny's physical body died. The Shadow King took her. So Lenny and Oliver, whenever you're, who's ever at the pool, is inside Farouk's mind. Because that's where he likes to keep his prisoners. It's okay. A very nice prison because you're poolside and it's sunny and you have your drink filled all of the single time. It's great. Wonderful. But the pool comes back again and again. So keep track of when the pool happens and who's there.
Okay.
And just remember, Lenny is Lenny.
Lenny is Lenny.
Lenny is Lenny. The idea of the maze is very important. The maze motif comes up again and again. The theme of this season is reality. What is real to you? What is real about yourself to yourself? Like it says, like, imagine this maze, and it describes the maze. And now that we've thought of the maze is real. So perception and reality is a major theme this season. And yeah, and one of the things, another thing I want to talk about is the camera angles. Because in that scene, in the opening scene with the pool, you actually get like that 90 degree tilt where Lenny and Oliver actually look like they're standing up. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the episode, you get Melanie, that camera angle is flipped. The camera angles this season mess with our perception of the show because we're thinking that they should be on the pool. And when it's tilted like that, our brain is, you know, like weirded out. There's going to be like 45 degree angle ones, flipped ones. So just be warned that those camera angle things will happen whenever, wherever. And it messes with our perception of what is going on and what we think the show is about.
Good to know. It's great to have our timeline guide with us, or our time travel guide with us. There was one other thing that occurred in this episode that I was like, wow, this is a little bit different. And it's Melanie, because Melanie has this conversation with Sid about their guys and their guys going, and it'll always be different when they come back. And then also, she gets high off of some vapor, doesn't she?
Yeah. Scott and I were like, opium, this is a bad idea.
It's that same drug from season one that David took, that blue drop stuff.
Does it have 5% strawberry extract in it?
Probably not.
Okay.
That's why her trip went so bad.
Yeah. That scene with Melanie becomes important. The idea of men have a destiny. Who are we to get in their way? Because they think they're so special, and it makes it seem like we're the bad guys if we say anything to dissuade them. The saddest words are vacant lot. The fact that she has short hair now and is on drugs. And at the end, that creature that you see, it's a wounded Minotaur.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
In her room that's wheeling
yeah.
around?
Yeah. It looked, when I was watching, it looked like some sort of weird deer-headed thing on a bike.
Yeah. It's in her brain.
Yeah. Well, I figured that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that we haven't discussed yet, and I thought we were going to with the dance battles, but it was the White Rabbit.
That is the creepiest version of that song I've ever heard.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, very creepy.
Yeah. By the way, the White Rabbit that we were talking about is Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, which is a great song. It is the stereotypical drug trip song. The one pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small, and the ones that mama gives you don't do anything at all.
Yep. And that's all for me. Haley, do you have anything else that you'd like to discuss this episode before we go on?
I don't think so. Just in general, the cinematography was very disorienting, and that's obviously a conscious choice on their part. I think they like, the more confused their audience is, the better they feel they're doing with the storytelling.
I'll say that I know that this is late at night for a reason. This is played on FX late at night. I can't deal with it late at night because I'm so tired. So I have to watch it like first thing in the morning for it all to make sense to me. And that's what happened this morning. So late at night, probably not good because it is so disoriented. So Lauren, any last words?
Oh, I wanted to talk about the whole delusion sequence.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
So there's a voiceover talking about how a delusion happens and using the metaphor of an egg and the creature inside of it. And a healthy thought is like, you know, it's born as a chicken, just a regular little baby chick. And an unhealthy thought, a delusion, is this weird, monstrous little tar skeleton thing. And in order for a delusion to take root, you have to kill the healthy thoughts. And the example that we're given is one day some guy stumbles and it starts the delusion of thinking that his right leg isn't his. And it festers and it festers until one day he cuts off his leg. And if anybody has ever had a delusion, you know that that is sort of how it happens. You just sort of, you start thinking something and then you just keep thinking, yeah, but what if? And all the healthy thoughts in your head are like, you know, that's not true. You know, that's not true. But what if? And that unhealthy thought, that delusion has to kind of be fed and nurtured and the healthy thoughts killed off until that delusion can kind of full-blown grow. And it was a really, really unsettling visual image. It was incredibly unsettling, and I'm a little scared for what it means for the series, the season as a whole. Especially considering that Michelle said the theme is the nature of reality.
I call those like the lessons of the episode. Whenever one of those happens, make sure you pay attention to it, rewind it if you have to. I'm curious about what the life plus seven numbers are with this show. I wonder if that's how it got its renewal, because the live numbers for this took a nosedive. I don't know what the life plus seven, even if we can find that out, because I do think that's probably where the numbers are coming from, because I can't watch this late at night either.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. So I was thinking about that because FX has lost quite a bit. They're going to lose Archer. They're going to lose the Americans they have, but both in the last seasons. So I'm thinking they kept Legion around as the senior award-winning show, regardless of what the ratings were, because they had some time slots they needed to fill for next year. So that's my theory. I don't know how true it is, but I could see the validity in it.
Well, and in general, I think they like the prestige of being, of having these award-winning shows. They don't necessarily need, you know, huge numbers. They're happy with the honors and the accolades.
There's been some phenomenal shows on FX. Go back to Justified. I mean, that was my almost favorite shows over the last 5 years or so have all been on FX. So they definitely keep some good ones around. Legion, I can see it's not for the masses. It's not going to appeal to everybody. It's actually, unless you go back and rewatch it, you're going to wonder what the heck that you ever watched. I mean, it's a good water cooler show if you can go back
to work. Get enough people to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they do or not. I mean, everybody watches Game of Thrones. A lot of people are watching Westworld. A lot of people are watching Walking Dead. And those are good water cooler shows just because of the masses of people that watch them. This would be a good one if you could find somebody that's watching it. So anyway.
And if you can't, that's what we're here for.
That's right. Michelle, any last words about the episode?
Yes. I'm really glad Lauren brought up the delusions. I call those tar bugs. Keep an eye on the tar bugs. And keep an eye on David. He made this promise to Sid, no secrets, but I think it's obvious that he's not meaning it. So watch David's perception of himself and how his powers develop.
All right. Keep on the lookout for that. Now, next Sunday, we will be talking about Legion Season 2, Episode 2, which is called Chapter 10. So we'll be taking that on. If you have anything to say about that, please get in touch with us. We would appreciate that, or just the series in general. Keep in mind that three of us have not watched all the way through, nor intend on watching all the way through to the end of season two until we actually podcast about it. But in the meantime, if you want to go out and listen to other great content or watch other great content on YouTube that is like this, other geeky related content, we've got a bunch for you, don't we, Michelle?
Yes, we do. One podcast we have is called Better Podcasting. Episode 134, Podcasting Without a Computer. Ever been in a situation that you wished you could podcast without using a traditional computer? You know, desktops and laptops. In this week's episode, Steven and SP run down a variety of different ways you could podcast and ways that they have podcasted in these situations. Check out this and more in this week's Better Podcasting. Again, that's episode 134, Podcasting Without a Computer.
We have to start with some not so happy news, the ongoing drama of Stanley's life at this point. Two gunmen showed up at his home demanding money.
So this was posted to the Daily Dot on June 3rd, and there was a call made to police last week. The source, who asked not to be named, said up to 20 cops arrived and police helicopters were above. The cops had their guns drawn and there were spotlights from two police helicopters. It was very scary and pretty intense. The cops said, put your hands up. So the guys got on their knees and on the floor. They were handcuffed and put in the car. So this is just the latest thing in a long line of things that's been going on this year with Stan Lee. Apparently, Stan was accompanied by his lawyer, business partner, and a nurse at the time of the confrontation. And when it became apparent the men were armed, they all retreated back in the house, so I guess no one was hurt. He's not been having a good year, so that's not great.
No, and I hope things get better for Stan, because this has been quite a bad year. I'm trying to remember what date that his wife passed away last year, and I don't even know if it's been a year since then. So
it hasn't. It's only been a few months, if I remember right.
Wow. Lots of stuff. As I said before, I hope Stan Lee gets the help he needs from friends and none of this crazy stuff in his life, because he really deserves a peaceful existence right now.
Yeah. On to some happier news. Season 2 of Luke Cage is coming, and we're getting a sneak peek at it.
So this was about a minute and a half little clip featuring Misty Knight and Colleen Wing. Have any of y'all seen it?
Oh my God. It just makes me like, forget Iron Fist, forget anything. Just give us the Daughters of the Dragon, because this right here is like the, like, yes, give me 13 episodes of them doing this.
Yes. So amazing. You guys, I'm so glad we are getting this. This is so good.
It's this great fight scene in the bar, and Misty doesn't have her new arm, and but she's still kicking bat.
Yes. One and arm. At one point, Colleen's just looking at her like, you're doing great, sweetie. But then she joins in and it's wonderful. I just love these two so much.
Some more exciting news for upcoming things. The still unnamed Avengers 4 movie, which was coming next May, now has a new promo art and a full team and Thanos.
So I'm not going to go too much into it because apparently it is spoilery, but if you are interested, you can click on it. It has some images. There was also a thing I did not link because it was all spoilers, but it has to do with Spider-Man 4 and some rumors. Super spoilery. Again, I did not link because I did not want to spoil the people here. But if you Google, you can find it.
All right. And last bit of news. Ranking Marvel supervillains according to hotness and evilness.
Okay. This is contentious and I wanted to talk about it. Junkie.com, Junkee.com has a list and it's the top 10 Marvel supervillains according to hotness and evilness. So number 10 is Loki, because hotness, yeah, hot enough top 10. Evilness, not that evil. Number 9 is Mariah Dillard. Number 8 is Grandmaster.
Wait a minute. Mariah beat out Loki?
Because they say that she's more evil than him.
All right.
Number 8 is Grandmaster. Number 7 is Ego. Number 6 is Ultron.
No.
They say because he has James Spader's voice and a booty.
Wrong.
No.
5 is Kilgrave. 4 is Hela. 3 is Elektra. 2 is Killmonger. And 1 is Thanos. Excuse me. How dare you put Thanos at 1?
He's got a ball sack chin, so no.
They're like, Thanos is thick. No, people keep saying Thanos is hot. How dare you? Thanos is not hot. What are you on about?
I think what they're thinking is Josh Brolin is hot. Josh Brolin is playing Thanos, therefore. But like,
well, Cable is hot. Thanos isn't.
Josh Brolin, he's okay, but...
But of all the Marvel villains...
I mean, Hela and Killmonger are below Thanos. How dare you?
Yeah, and Elektra being 3? Like, come on, Kate Blanchett. I'm sorry.
Also, well, yeah, I guess in the Defender series, she is kind of a villain. I was going to say, she's barely a villain, but...
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about this, okay? A lot of feelings.
No.
How dare you put Thanos above Killmonger? Excuse you.
Well, this could also be clickbait, too, so...
It's coming from a site called Junkie? No. Clickbait, you say.
Right. So, I mean, don't feed the troll.
I refuse to believe that Thanos is hotter than either Kilgrave or Hela. Excuse you, junkie.com.
Well, I mean...
So many feelings.
Kilgrave is definitely evil.
Kilgrave is definitely evil. David Tennant is pretty attractive, but Kilgrave is a horrible person.
So
anyway,
if you want to come up with your top 10 Marvel supervillains in terms of hotness and evilness, please.
Or just hotness. We'll accept just hotness.
Go ahead and get those into us and we'll discuss it in a future episode. And with that, that's it for the news. We're going to move on into some feedback.
Well, we had a lot of interaction on Twitter. At Mr. Paracletes shared us something about Disney princesses.
So the Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer was out last week. And people have been making some images, which he shared with us. And he said, poisoning is a stretch, but he is royalty and always wanted to be a Valkyrie. And the image shared is the whole trying to decide whether or not Vanellope is a Disney princess. But with Thor in place of Vanellope, do you have magic hair? There's Thor with the hair. Magic hands? Thor with the lightning. Do animals talk to you? Picture of Rocket. Were you poisoned? Picture of Thor looking, to which Scott pointed out, come on, do you think when Loki bit him as a snake, he wasn't a venomous snake? Kidnapped or enslaved? Picture of him getting put in the chair in the Grandmaster's place. Do people assume all your problems are solved because a big strong man showed up? Picture of the Hulk. So let's face it, Thor is a Disney princess.
Yep.
Okay.
Can't argue with that logic.
Nope. At Born to Eat Bacon talked about lemons.
So Born to Eat Bacon has been going back through some of our back episodes and tweeting along. Listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 238. If life gives you lemons, show her you love her. Lemons are delicious and SP is a girly man. I agree that lemons are delicious.
At a Donner Girl, has information about a fan. And what's really interesting, I went to Indie Pop Con this weekend and I went to the Marvel panel, and one of the people asking, you know, a fan asking the question actually mentioned this individual. Lauren, what are we talking about?
So Adana Girl said, how is he not broken emotionally by this point? Marvel fan chronicles his journey watching Infinity War 42 times. There's a link. It's one of those Twitter moments things. There are dedicated fans. And then there is at NemRaps. And he has a picture story of himself. 6th day watching Infinity War. 7th day watching Infinity War. 8th day watching Infinity War. Yes, I'm actually watching the movie, not kidding. And so on and so forth. This is really long, showing all the tickets. This guy is dedicated. Wow. Just wow.
That's 41 more times than I ever will watch the movie.
Like, I want to watch it again, but I have not had time because I've been busy. And this guy is dedicated.
Yeah, the panel was with Elizabeth Hentritch from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Palm, who plays Mantis. I cannot.
Palm Clementif. She's so cute.
Oh my gosh, she is adorable. And both of them were like, how is this person not emotionally destroyed? How does one do that? That movie was just so intense. Even they were like, whoa. And it looks like that's all we have in feedback this week.
All right. So we're going to take this opportunity with the chapter 9 of Legion, and we're going to, all four of us, dance battle this one out. That's all we have for this week. I want to thank all of our listeners and watchers, and especially the people that get back to us. Thank you very much. And please go ahead and send us in your top 10 Marvel supervillains in terms of evilness and hotness.
Or just hotness.
We'll talk about that later.
Thank you to everybody who listens, everybody who tweets at us. We really love knowing that you're thinking of us, that we are not speaking into a void. We really love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you to everyone that's trying to figure out what's going on in Legion with us. We know it's not necessarily a linear or straightforward journey, and we appreciate you getting lost in the woods along with us.
Yes, thank you for listening to my long rambles about what's going on. But I have to admit, I really do wish I had a guide to walk me through the first time I watched this episode, because this season is a long meditative thing on reality. So thank you for listening to us about it.
And thank you for being our guide through season one, Michelle. And hopefully you can guide some other people through their first watch as well. So until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next week, talking the next episode of Legion. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Hey.
Hey. Running a little late here. How's it going?
Okay. Kitten will probably be biting me throughout the whole show. There we go.
Is still a little burrito or?
No, he is a full-on toothed demon at this point, but it's okay because you can barely even tell that he had a broken femur, and he's just a good little angry bundle of Buzz, who's just, he's a kitten, so he's very, playful, but he has very sharp teeth.
Yeah, they do. Do they go through two sets or just the one? I can't remember.
No, they have baby teeth.
Right.
That'll fall out.
Do they go through two sets of baby teeth?
No, just one.
Okay.
They have their baby teeth, they fall out, and their adult teeth grow in. There you are. Ponks is bapping him on the head right now.
Good. Ponks needs
Oh my God. So I'm so happy they're getting, they're getting along in that Tonks will whap him on the head when he's playing too rough. Oh my God. I'm so excited for Gen Con. I'm going to be doing so much role playing. It's so fun. I have new dice and I'm going to be ordering new dice and I'm so excited. Just a weekend of nothing but role playing and I need to work on my cosplay for it. And I'm just so excited. Hit record.
Yep.
Oh my God, stop eating that. Hold on. Drop it.
Oh my God, it's like a toddler.
He's looking for something else. I can see.
What was he eating?
Carpet fuzz. We really need to get a new cat tree. This one's been ripped to shreds over the course of 12 years.
It's like he's going after the couch now.
Oh, it's fine if it goes after the couch. The couch is like over 30 some years old and it's a mess.
Okay.
If nobody takes this couch when we move, we're just going to pitch it off the balcony.
Nice. I've always wanted to do that. Just make sure nobody's down there and just go, look out below.
That's a way to not get your deposit back.
We're not getting our deposit back. For those who aren't watching, Pike Trickleg, the intern kitten, is running around like a dervish, knocking things over in the background.
and almost he does that pushed your speakers lot. Over. Oh my
yes.
gosh.
He, yes. Oh. So back to Legion.
Yeah.
For those who aren't watching, Pike Trickleg, the intern kitten, is running around like a dervish, knocking things over in the background.
and almost he does that pushed your a speakers lot. Over. Oh my yes. gosh.
He, yes. Oh. So back to Legion.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you getting lost in the woods along with us.
Oh my goodness, he's so cute.
I need to go feed him.
Ah, that's what's going on. Ow. Mommy, feed me.
He was asleep on my lap for like the last half of the episode.
Aww.
Then he woke up and decided to speak up.
He woke up. Yeah.
All right.
Starving. Because he's never eaten before. He will die.
No. Yeah. He's going through a growth spurt. So he's like, I need to eat everything constantly.
Yeah, even though you have food out for me, I still want something else.
Not fresh enough.
I need the wet food now.
There's a hole in my bowl.
I can see part of the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah.
You guys got this cat thing down good.
Yep.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated by the Shadow King.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.